This message entitled Appearances was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on May 3rd, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to another worship experience at Christ Our Rock Bible Church. However, it's obvious that we are not at the church building because of the virus and stuff that's going around. Sounds like things might be opening up sometime soon, maybe perhaps in the next few weeks here in Pennsylvania. And so just keep watching, and it'll come out that whether or not we're going to be here or we're going to be at the church. And, of course, if we're at the church, then you're more than welcome to come out and join us. Praise God. All right. Well, I wanted to start with something, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks now, something before the sermon. I wanted to tell you a true story, actually. I've mentioned before that my wife is in a nursing home with Alzheimer's. And I go over practically every day, and lately they've been allowing me to meet with her, but not in the room. I'm outside. I bring a chair with me, and I sit out in the grass right opposite the window, and I can go ahead and pray for her there. I can share scripture with her. I can talk with her. She's not able to speak back, but we are still enjoying the time that we do have together. I read some scripture to her the other day, and I was asking her questions about the various scriptures, not for long dissertations or anything, but, you know, yes or no type questions, and she was nodding. So it's clear to me that she not only can hear me through the glass and so forth, but she's also understanding what I'm saying, and she's responding, and I am glad for that. Praise the Lord. But as I was reading to her, I found one scripture that I did read along with some of the others, and I'm sure it's familiar to you in one way or another. It's from Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's chapter 3, the beginning part of chapter 3. All right? To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. I really do think we've got to get a hold of that, that we've got to understand that our God is in control, and He can bring anything our way that He wants to, and He'll have a reason for it. He'll have a purpose for it, and it's going to be for the good. If you are a child of God, if you are born again by His Spirit, praise God, you have been promised that all things work for the good. Praise God. Amen. For all those that are called according to His purpose, for all who love Him and are called by Him, praise God, He's got a purpose. Amen. And so that's something I have to constantly remember as I go to visit the nursing home practically every day, sometimes even in the rain. Gets a little wet, but to everything there is a season, and a time for to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sew, as in sewing with needle and thread. A time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful. Everything beautiful. In His time. Also, now in the King James it says that He set the world in their heart, but it's even bigger than that. It's even broader than that. From the original Hebrew, it's eternity. Praise God. He hath set eternity in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, it's going to be a mystery till the day we step inside those gates. Amen? There's going to be some things we're just not going to get, we're just not going to understand, but we're to trust in our God. We are to trust in the Lord, for He knows all things, and He knows what's going to be the best for us. Praise God. It's not an easy one to grab onto. You might think, oh, well, that's an easy one to say. Well, it might be an easy one to say, but it's not an easy one when you're in the midst of the very rough and tumble difficulties of life. But He is in control. Amen? He just plain is. And you got to know that. And you got to believe it. And you got to trust it. Praise God. And He'll show it. I believe He'll show it. We may not know what everything's all about, but we can trust our God, for He does know everything. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, praise God. Let me go ahead and open the service up here in prayer. All right? Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank You, dear God, for this day. Another day that You have given that we can be about You and that we can love You and have You revealed to us so that we can share, dear God, everything You are with others. Praise God. I think that's the big thing. We need to know it in the first place, but once we know it, we need to share it. We need to live it. We need to proclaim it. And I thank You, dear God, for these times, such as we have them here, dear God, to do that proclamation. Hallelujah. To proclaim the things of God and everything, dear God, that You want to fill our hearts with in the first place. So we thank You, dear God, and we do give You the glory. I want to pray, dear God, for this country and for this world because the churches and all of it, dear God, with all of this virus stuff, Lord, things have been difficult. And thank God for the people that can still be in there kicking, so to speak, and getting things done for the rest of us. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank You, dear God. They call them first responders. But I used an illustration, Lord, a couple of weeks ago about the Minutemen of the Revolutionary War. And that's about it. Ready in 60 seconds. Hallelujah. Ready in 60 seconds to march forth and accomplish what You are calling for, dear God. So I just pray, Lord, that You'll be upon all these, dear God, that are still out there. We're, in a sense, working for the rest of us that are staying at home for the rest of us. Hallelujah. And I thank You, dear God, that Your mercy and grace does shine forth. I thank You, Lord, that You've given me the opportunity, Lord, to be in a very real sense, dear God, one of those Minutemen, to go ahead and proclaim Your truth, dear God, each and every Sunday, even if it's online. We're looking forward to the day, dear God, that we can be back in our church. But Lord, we are taking advantage of these very times that we have now, and we're giving You the glory for it, dear God. You are truly worthy of all praise and adoration. Hallelujah. Lord, I do pray, dear God, that You'll have Your way in so many hearts and lives, and that You will indeed have a healing touch, dear God, upon each one that is affected in one, whatever way it is, dear God, whether somebody's actually got this particular virus or whether their family does or whatever, dear God. We ask for You, Lord, to truly reveal Yourself and manifest Yourself. I want to pray for our own Judy, dear God, who has this disease. I pray, Lord, that You will keep her, dear God. Keep her safe, Lord, that she'll be able to return, dear God, to seeking You. And I thank You, dear God, that You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I also offer up the opportunity for people that are listening and watching this particular message, that they go ahead and take a moment here. Maybe we'll even make it a moment of silence where people can join in for their own prayer requests. And we'll just do that right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. I think we'll go ahead and get right to the message. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 16. In fact, I think I'll go ahead and share it in its entirety. It's only a few verses. And then as we go through, we'll see bits and pieces of it surface as well. The title for today's message is Appearances. Appearances. I'm going to be reading, if you have your Bibles there, you can be turned to this if you'd like. It's Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to begin with verse 13. Okay, 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." And of course, those are all passed away by the time this story is going on, so they would be resurrected from the dead. It would be a very special occurrence to even see any of them, let alone Jesus himself. Verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" That's what other people think I am, or who I am. Now, what do you say, guys? You who have traveled with me all this time. And Simon Peter spoke up. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He's the one who revealed it to you, Peter. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." A play on words there, because the word for that Peter comes from is Petros, which refers to a rock. Okay, I'm going to build my church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 20. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Sometimes people wonder why Jesus told them that, and told them that more than once. It's because he did not want other people to know of him through just word of mouth. He didn't want to go by hearsay. "Well, this guy says he's the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, and then, "Well, he must be then." No. There has to be a knowing of Jesus. There has to be a meeting of Jesus and a submission and a surrender to Jesus. Praise God. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you, dear God, for this day. Help us, Lord, as we dig into this holy word, dear God, to see who you really are. Hallelujah. And not just who you really are, but then proclaim it to one another as we live our lives throughout this coming week. We want to thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Bible strongly commands us to avoid all appearances of evil. If anything even looks slightly off, you know, out of kilter, or evil, or wrong, or bad, or whatever, stay away from it. Okay? It may not be really bad, but if it has even the appearance of evil, then it's something to stay away from. The Bible does strongly command us to avoid all appearances of evil. And any given situations that we may find ourselves in may be completely innocent. Maybe nothing wrong with it at all. But it just has that tint to it, or it has that flavor of it. And yet the appearance of this thing may suggest the opposite. fellow by the name of Dennis Fakes, pastor of a church out west, tells of when he first started working. He worked in a place downtown St. Louis many, many years ago now. This is before he was a pastor. There happened to be a general repair shop right next to where he worked. So one day he took some umbrellas into the shop. He just went around the house and gathered them up. You know how umbrellas are, right? There's always something wrong with them, right? The end of the top is off its little stick, you know, and you got to put that back on, or something's bent and you have to bend it back into shape or replace the piece of metal or whatever it might be. They're just always acting up and always broken, okay? And of course, then it rained the next day, as you could well imagine. And as it turned out, he was dripping wet when he got onto the bus. Now, when the bus arrived at the shop, he grabbed an umbrella, forgetting that all his umbrellas were being fixed. So he thought he was just going to go ahead and borrow one here, and then everything would be okay. And all of a sudden, this lady started shouting at him, "Stop, thief! Stop, thief!" You know, whew. She actually was the one who owned the umbrella that he was walking away with. Dennis left the bus rather red-faced that day, as you can well imagine. Well, that evening, as he got back on the bus with a whole armload of repaired umbrellas that he had brought in earlier, they repaired them, and now he's taking them home. And who would be the first person that Dennis would meet holding onto all these umbrellas? You guessed it. It was the woman. And the first thing that woman said was, "Had a good day, huh?" Amen? You get that? Praise God. Had a good day, huh? In other words, you sure made off with a lot of umbrellas today. See, the appearance of evil. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but there was the appearance of it. Now, with this COVID-19 changing just about everything we do and just about every way we do it, our church has been online, as many churches have been. You can look up their websites or go to YouTube or whatever it might be, and you can find a message from just about probably any church at this point, since we're not allowed to gather, social distancing and all of that. At first glance, it may appear that I'm preaching, even as you're watching this message today, it might appear that I'm in the front of my church at Rogers Chapel. But a closer look makes clear that it's not really that at all. I've got a little desk off to the side here. I've got my dining room table here back behind me, okay? And I've got some things set up on it and lamps and some plants and so forth, and even have my traditional glass of water. Praise God. All right, and we're in my home, okay, and this is actually my dining room, all right. Now, when my wife was still at home, we needed to move my office in from the summer kitchen and put it in here, and then we also have the bed here, and this is where we slept, and so it's like a one-room apartment, almost. Well, anyway, I just decided not to change that. I figured, you know, I don't need to be climbing up and down the stairs all the time, so we're just going to leave things as they are for right now anyway, okay? But I'm not at the church building. We're at my house. You could call it my home office if you'd like. The actual office has become a storage room, and it's a mess, so we don't need to use that. Okay, but there's nothing evil about that. There's nothing evil about doing it this way. In fact, with this virus, this is one of the ways most people are doing it. They're recording either in their homes or somebody else's home, or maybe they go over to the church and do it. And with all the social distancing nowadays, it's really one of the main ways that services are carried on. Praise God. Everything's changed. We've all noticed that, I'm sure. Everything's changed. And change, you might as well realize it right now, is inevitable. Amen? It's inevitable. In fact, there is one thing you can't change, and that is change. You can't somehow get rid of it. Stuff just changes. That's all there is to it. It's interesting that the very God who's in control of absolutely everything changes not. Amen. Bible even says that. God changeth not. Hallelujah. So if anybody knows anything at all about change and not changing, it's God. So he's the one we need to listen to and keep our focus on throughout all of these things that go on. Now, I want to illustrate this with a true story. It was told by Pastor Rob Morgan in his book, On This Day. Before the Civil War, there were very few chaplains that served with the troops. But on May 3rd, 1861, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's today, right? Yeah, that's right. May 3rd, 1861, exactly 159 years ago today, the Southern Congress, all right, the Confederate States, the Southern Congress approved Bill 102 stating there shall be appointed by the president chaplains to serve in the armies of the Confederate States. Okay? So now there's going to be a whole program, so to speak, of chaplaincy. And then exactly 1 year later, that's to the day, people, May 3rd, 1 year later, 1862, a Presbyterian pastor from Martinsburg, West Virginia, by name of A.C. Hopkins, he joined them as chaplain of the 2nd Virginia Regiment. And Hopkins wasted no time getting to work. All right. On May 16th, he led the men in a day of fasting and prayer. It was 2 days later that he conducted Sunday services at Mossy Creek. The ensuing week found him consumed, and you can assume from that stressed out, but consumed with the wounded and the dying and the dead. And during the 7 days battle near Richmond, he marched all day in the hot sun and spent a sleepless night ministering to the casualties. The next morning, attempting to preach to his men, he collapsed, strength gone. He was carried to the rear to recover, but when he returned some 10 days later to the front lines, he learned that his best friends had died. Just imagine living this. The chaplain sank into deep despondency. Heavy losses at Malvern Hill further drained him, and the pastor felt like he could go no longer, that he could continue no longer. Well, praise God, that's not the way God saw it. Amen? Praise God. The pastor, the chaplain, retreated for a season of intense prayer, and soon, listen to this, Bible classes were organized and flourishing. Evangelists visited the brigade. Worship services were followed by prayer meetings and baptisms. Large sums of money were raised to provide Christian literature for ravaged cities. Generals and officers were born again. Glory to God. There were prayer meetings every day. Now listen, in all between 100 and 200,000 Union soldiers. Remember, this was in the South. 100 to 200,000 Union soldiers and approximately 150,000 Southern troops were converted during these Civil War revivals. Whole armies on both sides became vast fields ready for harvest. And many of the soldiers who perished went to heaven through the efforts of chaplains like Reverend A.C. Hopkins, who continued hard in service until the bitter end. Amen? Until the bitter end. And we hear about this same dynamic from the Bible itself. You don't have to turn there because it's real quick. Isaiah 43, verses 5 to 7. Okay? Besides that, I'm going to be reading out of a different translation. Don't be afraid. I am with you, God says. From both east and west, I will bring you together. I will say unto the north and the south, Free my sons and daughters. Let them return from distant lands. They are my people. I created each of them to bring honor to me. Yes, honor to God. That's the whole purpose. Praise the Lord. And it is the same thing spiritually. In recent weeks, our church has looked at the resurrection appearances of Jesus to, first of all, Mary Magdalene. Bible says she was the first one to see him alive. Okay? And then secondly, okay, the rest of the women. Remember that? We talked about that last week. All right? Now, it's the men's turn. Remember, every time they heard anything about Jesus being alive, they didn't believe it. It seemed to them like idle tales, the one gospel says. Now it's the men's turn. And you know why? Because they hadn't met him. They're about to meet him. Amen? They're about to meet Jesus. Okay. In an effort to proceed chronologically, the very next person beyond the women now is Peter. The Apostle Peter is up first. So we're just going to look at him today. All right, the Apostle Peter. Both the chaplain that we talked about here for a little while and Peter, they show us the tragedy of trying to serve the Lord in our own strength, with our own abilities, just running on out and marching up and trying to accomplish something. Okay? Jesus had asked Peter specifically who he thought he was. Namely, Jesus. Who do people say that I am? Okay? And what was the answer? Remember? In chapter 16 here, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, praise God, that's terrific. Amen? I mean, isn't that a good answer? But not more than a few minutes later, when Jesus makes it clear that that identification, actually, what it actually meant is that he's going to have to suffer and die and rise again. And Peter didn't want to hear word one about that. And Peter had a fit. Yeah. All right. That's how you're not meeting Jesus, is when you're told the truth and you have a fit. Okay. Look at verse 22. Okay. You still in that section? Yeah. Verse 22 says, then Peter took him, and you can almost picture Jesus, or Peter grabbing a hold of Jesus' shoulders and shaking him, you know? Come on now, you can't even think about this, okay? Began to rebuke him and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Here's Peter telling Jesus what's going to be and what's not going to be. You can see the problem with that, can't you? I guess some people just don't understand that salvation actually cost something. Yeah, actually costs something. But Jesus wouldn't let either of them, Peter or the chaplain, go on with their own understanding. The Lord told Peter, look at verse 23. The Lord told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So just a few minutes of after telling Peter, "Way to go, Peter. You nailed it right on the head of the nail. You got it. You know, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." And just a few minutes later, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Time and time again, both Peter and the chaplain tried their own way. And time again, they both became frustrated with their own claims, their own achievements, their own ideas, their own strength, until finally Jesus lovingly confronted them, both of them, and then they could see it no other way than the way of Jesus. Did you hear me? It's through Jesus' confrontation of them that they came to see it his way. A.C. Hopkins had come to the end of himself and was ready to quit. That's what the story said. Well, the same thing is true with Peter. Okay? He's about had it too. All right. When Jesus had been arrested, they left the Garden of Gethsemane and the disciples split up. Remember, you hear about John going upstairs into the courtroom, so to speak, where Jesus was going to be on trial. Okay, gone with Jesus for this absurd mock trial before the Jewish leaders. But Peter, on the other hand, he stayed down in the courtyard warming himself at the fire. And what a picture of self-comfort, self-concern, that is, huh? Everybody else is cold, but he gathers around with some enemies of Jesus, around a fire, warming his hands, warming his body, in a sense trying to appease the enemies of Jesus. He gets asked, "You were with them, weren't you?" "Oh, no, no, I wasn't there." Just trying to appease everybody. And while there were three people altogether who recognized Peter as having been with Jesus. And Peter was absolutely adamant about it and finally insisted that he didn't even know Jesus. "I know not the man," it says in one of the Gospels. Doesn't even know Jesus. And you know what? If you just think about it a minute, I think maybe he was right. Did you really know Jesus if you could just turn your back on him that easily? Clearly, Peter, as well as the chaplain, would need the indwelling Holy Spirit. And remember, I told you before that that's what this is all about. Remember when Jesus finally visits all of his disciples and his followers in that upper room? What happens? He breathes on them, right? He breathes on them. And tells them to receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now that's not Pentecost, but it sure is pointing to it. Amen? Yes, it is. Sure is pointing to it. You see, Jesus had warned him earlier that he would deny himself, the Lord, three times. And then when the rooster was done crowing, look at verse, I'll just give it to you quickly. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Okay? And he went out and wept bitterly. Yeah. Went out and wept bitterly. In the original Greek, it is the word pikros. It refers to a violence. Amen. It comes from another Greek word that carries with it the idea of piercing through. Yeah. Sharp. Piercing through. Even, to put it in terms of your senses, acrid. Something acrid. Pungent. Right? That's literally what the idea of bitterness is all about. It's like, ooh, you know. It was when A.C. Hopkins felt that he could no longer continue that the Holy Spirit led him forward, continuing hard in service until the bitter end. That's the chaplain. What about Peter? Well, Peter, when he couldn't take one more step in his own abilities, he wept bitterly. And as I already showed you from the definition, it means violently. He is not just whimpering. He is not just welling up. He is weeping bitterly. Both men had come to be ready for the risen Lord to actually take over their thinking. And praise God, it must be the same way with us. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, it's going to be the same way with us. Amen? The more that God, now listen carefully, the more that God, in his mercy, dealt with these two men, the less he had to deal with them in the end. Do you see that? There is far less time attributed in either of these two stories to when they finally get on track and go God's way. There's far less time given to exactly how that happened. All right? the rest of the gospel accounts, the rest of the letters by these people and Paul and all of that would give the detail about what these people did. But in the actual story about what's going on with Peter, there's next to nothing. Next to nothing. For the chaplain, okay, hardly a thing. The more that God, now listen, I want to get, this has got to be clear, or you might as well have just forgotten the whole thing, okay? This has got to be clear. The more that God, in his mercy, not in his hatred, not in his disgust of you, but in his mercy, dealt with these two men, the less he had to deal with them in the end. You know why? Because the dealing was already done. Praise God. Amen? For the chaplain, as soon as he came to the end of himself, the quicker, praise God, he could move into what God wanted to do with him. And the same thing was true with Peter. Okay? All we hear about him is when the two travelers, this is the only thing, the two travelers returned from Emmaus on Easter. Probably in the early afternoon or mid-afternoon. We don't know exactly what. Okay? If I do want you to turn here, though. Would you turn to Luke 24, 33 and 34? Okay? Luke 24. Would you turn there, please? I do want you to see this. I think this is important. It's really what we're talking about. Luke 24, 33. Here it is. Yep. Here it is. This is 33 and 34. And they rose up the same hour. Now, you know who that's talking about, don't you? It's the two that were in Emmaus, and they were talking with Jesus, and Jesus finally broke the bread while they were at the table, and bam, they recognized who he was. And bam, he was gone. Teleported back to Jerusalem. I don't think he walked. I don't think he ran. I don't think he took a plane. I think he just was there. Amen? He could do it when he met with the disciples right after that in the upper room. He just appeared right before them. No doors open. No windows open. He didn't crawl through anything. Praise God. Amen? He returned to Jerusalem and watch. And they found the 11 gathered together. I'll have more to say about that another time. The 11 were gathered together, and them that were with them, there were others, saying, watch this, this is what they told the two that came back from Emmaus. The Lord is risen indeed, now watch, and hath appeared to Simon. That's it. That's the whole story. Had appeared to Simon. I mean, Mary Magdalene had like half a chapter, you know? She's talking with Jesus. She recognizes him finally as Jesus when he calls her by name, and she calls him Rabboni, and it goes on and on and on. And the other women, they met him. They fell down to the ground and worshiped him. And he said, go tell the others. And, you know, a lot more detail. When it comes to Simon, the Lord is indeed risen and hath appeared to Simon. That's all that's said. We don't even hear what Jesus said or Simon said to each other when they did get together. And you know why? Because we already know. We already know. Simon Peter was forgiven. We don't need a great big long story. We don't need a great big long narrative. It just says he has appeared to Simon. That's it. The more the Lord reprimanded him and made clear which direction he should go, the more immediate was his repentance as exhibited with his violent weeping. Amen? You don't need a great big long story. When he's been dealt with and dealt with and dealt with. And by the way, I only mentioned one or two things there. There were numerous times that Jesus got after Peter for thinking this or saying that or, you know, whatever. Numerous times. And it's in all those dealings that Jesus was making his point. He didn't have to make a great big long story out of it. All it says in our Bibles is that he met Peter. Amen. He hath appeared to Simon. Praise God. And I think what this shows us is that God's rebuke and God's correction throughout time is a very good thing. Amen? Difficult? Perhaps. Hard? Could be. But blessed. Amen? Praise God. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing. It's a good thing, a good appearance, praise God. This is not, let me be clear on this, this is not punishment. This is God's mercy. His heart is not filled with hate towards his people. In fact, elsewhere in the scripture, it says that God's people are not appointed to wrath. When God does something, whatever it is, in our hearts and lives and in our circumstances, it's for our good. Do you hear that? If you love God and are the called according to his purpose, everything works for the good. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. His heart is not filled with hate for his people. His heart is filled with love. It doesn't mean it's entirely easy just to kind of cruise through life. There are things we need to face, and we need to come in repentance and be given over to God clearly over and over again as we enter into sin different times. But remember what the Bible says about that. If we do fall into sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. We have someone who's going to stand up for us and call us on. And I'm telling you, people, that's the best news ever. That's not an evil thing at all. Praise God. Amen. It draws us in the center of his heart and his will. Amen. All right. A.W. Tozer, I've quoted him before many times, the great CMA preacher of the last century. He put it this way. Listen carefully. And we'll close with this. Grace will save a man, but it will not save him and his idol. If in his absolute freedom, God has willed to give man limited freedom, who is there to stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" In other words, what are you doing? Man's will is free because God is sovereign. And that's not the way most people see it. Most people see it kind of the opposite. Fact is, man's will is free. Free will because God is sovereign. Amen? A God less than sovereign would not bestow moral freedom upon his creatures. He would most likely be afraid to do so. Because if he's not in control, then wow. It's going to go off in about 18,000 different directions. I'm adding a little bit there. This is not Tozer. Let me get back to Tozer. Tozer said, "Salvation is from our side a choice. From the divine side, it is a seizing upon, an apprehending, a conquest by the Most High God. Our accepting, A-C-C, our accepting and willing are reactions rather than actions." Praise the name of Jesus. Our response is just that, a response. It's a reaction. We're not the ones that are really acting. God is the one that presents everything in the first place. All right, back to Tozer. I keep going beyond, but it's all true. It's all true. The right of determination must always remain with God. Of all work done under the sun, Christian work should be the most open to examination, and there is positively no place in the church for sleight of hand or double talk, which, by the way, is going on quite a bit. Quite a bit, as some pastors in some churches have just turned the gospel on its head and take off in prosperity gospels and you know, just all this stuff that's made up. It's not biblical. So watch out for the appearance of evil. Watch out for the appearance of evil. It is God in His Spirit that is in absolute control. It's our job to let Him be in control. Amen? Praise God, praise God. Would you join me in prayer? Hallelujah. Lord, we want to thank You, dear God, for this day and for the opportunity, Lord, to hear from Your truth here this day. You, dear God, are the one glorified and lifted up. And I do pray, dear God, that as we consider these things, and hopefully not one of us, dear God, will just figure, well, we listen to it, now we don't have to think about it. No, Lord, we listen to it so we can think about it. And throughout the rest of this day and this week, to think about it. And truly let You, dear God, be the one in control. So I pray, dear God, that we would do that and that You would be glorified in the process of it. So we thank You and we praise You, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Praise God. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go in God's peace. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.